Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Free Talk Live, dial toll free to bring up anything that you want here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that are waiting for you there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. With you tonight, you've got me, Ian
Cantwell,
and Mark.
And, of course, you can join us on Skype. Our Skype username here is lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out that way, because generally you'll sound a lot better if you do so. So, again, toll-free number 855-450-FREE. Mark, you've got something to share with us this evening. Apparently, some politician here in this country wants mandatory voting.
Well, it's Barack Obama.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the system would obviously be better if some people who self-selected to opt out of the voting process, perhaps because of ignorance or, you know, whatever reason it might be, would be forced to vote.
It was interesting that this is news to me. I just watched his interview. I normally don't watch anything that presidents do, whether it's George Bush or Barack Obama. To me, they're all just criminals. They're the top dog of a
most
criminal
successful
gang.
Criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I watched this interview because it was done by Vice, and I find Vice to be a very interesting group doing, you know, reporting that's unusual in the scheme of media out there, frequently focusing, well, on Vice and other things of interest. So I thought it would be interesting to see what kind of questions the Vice producer who was putting this together, who's like the main guy at Vice, would ask Barack Obama. Most of it was fairly, you know, uninteresting. But the very end question was actually about marijuana legalization, and his answer was, I'll say it left something to be desired, I guess. He, you know, had the chance to really kind of own this, which, of course, he's never really done, so why would he do it now at this point? Even though you could argue that he's now on his way out, lame duck presidency, why not, you know, go ahead and do the right thing on this issue? Essentially, Vice confronted him with this, saying this was the most requested question. The question that they were receiving from their audience at Vice.com was about marijuana legalization. He suggested to Barack Obama that this could be a real legacy for him if he actually presided over legalizing marijuana. And Obama sort of, you know, threw out a couple of things to placate people by saying that, yeah, you know, the system is punishing nonviolent drug users, and that shouldn't
happen.
Not
the system. You are the system,
yeah,
dude.
And, you know, he said that that shouldn't happen, but then he was like, do we legalize heroin? Do we legalize cocaine? Do we legalize, you know, this?
Nobody asked you about heroin.
I mean, the whole nine, as I told the New Hampshire legislature.
Yeah. So I'm fine with legalizing those things, but no one asked him that question.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
if you, wait a second, I mean, well, why don't we just make tobacco and alcohol illegal? I don't know where this arbitrary line got drawn that marijuana's on one side of. If you go back and look in history, it has a lot to do with newspaper magnates owning pine tree forests and the fact that people didn't like the fact that Mexicans smoked it. I mean, it was very arbitrary.
So he sort of dodged around the question and made it sound like he couldn't reschedule the drug himself. I thought he could.
I tell you what he could do. He could go ahead and release every nonviolent marijuana drug possessor that's in federal prison right now, and I'll bet you that sent a big old message to Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, hey,
that's not going to happen.
That's the bully pulpit. You're just a wimp. That's what he is.
I mean,
he doesn't mean it.
And I am wholly uninterested in Barack Obama claiming that he doesn't have the power to do things. That guy has issued plenty of executive orders that are wholly outside of his authority. He could tell the DEA to stand down any time he wants.
Right. And he can fire them all.
Yeah, he might, even if he, I don't know if he can actually change the scheduling of drugs. I do believe that that's the power of Congress. However, the DEA is not only going out and busting people for marijuana. The DEA is executive branch. He can order the DEA to do or to not do things. And in addition to the war on drugs as it stands, the DEA is going out and arbitrarily banning substances all the time because they are synthetic cannabinoids and whatnot, and going out and raiding people who are selling products that they perceive to be legal. So I am so uninterested in him saying, well, you know, the Constitution really ties my hands on this one. Go well, to hell.
He didn't mention the Constitution.
He also was recently quoted in saying essentially that that young people should be less worried about the legalization of marijuana and more worried about world peace and stuff. Yep. You're the one dropping bombs on people. Stop trying to shed responsibility.
That was actually the first part of his answer. When he was asked the question about marijuana, he was like, well, young people should, because the guy conducting the interview said that, you know, most of his audience is younger, and that's where these questions were coming from, and sort of the whole conversation was about what young people's issues are, and so that's when Barack Obama was saying, well, young people should, be concerned with this and this and this and this, and, you know, went down a list of other things that he thought was more important. So he essentially told all of the people who thought this was the most important issue, your issue is junk, it's not important to me, and this is what you should find important. He was just basically slapped them all in the face, essentially, with that answer.
Well, there's issues that I find less important and more important, and marijuana is not the top issue for me. But what I've found is that if I want to create coalitions with people, that I'm going to have to advocate for, liberty on every issue every time. Yes, there's some issues that I'm, and some of them I'm just not going to take a stand on. It's just not important enough for me to take my time. But when it comes to marijuana, you can take a look at the drug war, and largely the drug war is the war on marijuana, just historically, because it's big, it's bulky, it's stinky, and a lot of people use it. And if you look at that, at the drug war, you'll see that that's a war on the Fourth Amendment. So if you care about the Constitution of the United States, you should be against the drug war. But so many people aren't, and this is the reason that I decided, I'm going to have to take this stand.
So, Mark, the reason I kind of went into that as a sidetrack was because one of the other questions that he answered during this, what was about an 18-minute long interview, after it was edited, I guess. But one of the other questions was asked where he was kind of talking about how there's this gridlock in Congress and, they can't get anything done, sort of typical claim. And he then bemoaned that there aren't that many people who are voting.
Yeah.
He bemoaned the idea that, there are these people out there who just, they're not voting for the Democrats. They're not voting at all. They should vote, and they should vote for the Democrats is essentially his position. He, painted Republicans as sort of behind the times, but then suggested that the apathy was what was really allowing the Republicans to continue to get elected, and that if only more people voted, they would vote Democrat. Now you're saying that he's actually advocating for mandatory voting?
That's not uncommon for Democrats to want more people to vote. Essentially, when you see elections, that when you get people out to vote, the larger the turnout, the better it tends to be for Democrats. This says one of two things about Democratic voters, that they are either A, lazy, or B, less informed. I mean, usually people are going to opt out, or I suppose you could say C, that they understand that in some election that votes are statistically insignificant. But I tend to think if they're going and voting in presidential elections now, I mean, basically, presidential elections get more people to go because there's just so much hype about them. They go on and on and on for month after month, just pounding in your head. Oh, this guy's terrible. Oh, that guy's terrible. Watch out for them. And then finally, they culminates in this day, and it's just over, thank God. And they've picked one of the two, deadbeats, one of the two criminals, and, so it's four more years of that. And the likelihood of them getting kicked out of 4 years is pretty slim, so it's really 8 years. So anyway.
All right, so what's the news?
From the AP, they said the only two things that are certain in life are death and taxes. Barack Obama wants to add one more thing, voting. Obama floated the idea of mandatory voting in the U.S. while speaking to a civic group in Cleveland on Wednesday. He asked about the corrosive influence of money in U.S. elections. Obama digressed into the related topic of voting rights and said that the U.S. should be making it easier, not harder, for people to vote. Just ask Australia, where citizens have no choice but to vote, the president said. There are some ways to opt out, but it's...
How do you opt out in Australia?
I'd have to look...
Religious objection?
I'd have to go and look again, but I suspect religious objections there.
Yeah, like I object to voting for evil, for instance.
And something like that, I suppose you could do. And I suppose that's... For voting for evil is really more of a philosophical objection, I suppose. Anyway, if everybody voted, then it would be completely... It would completely change the political map in this country. That's true. Obama said, calling it potentially transformative. Not only that, Obama said, but universal voting would counteract money more than anything. How would it do that? I mean, you'd still want the politicians.
That doesn't make sense.
It would still want to influence the way people voted.
I want to hear more. There's more?
Yeah.
All right, 855, 450 free. Would you do it if you're a current non-voter and they passed this universal voting, as he's calling it, mandatory voting? Would you do it? Or would you commit civil disobedience? 855-450-3, 855-450-3733, Free Talk Live.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-463-9184. That's 1-800-463-9184. 1-800-463-9184.
This is Mark of Free Talk Live. We've been witnessing a meltdown of the economic engine that powers our country. With a printing press tethered to Washington bureaucrats and New York central bankers, how can we trust paper money? For years, I've been buying gold and silver from Midas Resources, and you should too. Call 877-357-9938 for a free book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, or go to gold.freetalklive.com. Again, 877-357-9938. 877-357-9938.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery for humans? Introducing Youngevity. You could avoid 900 diseases by getting 90 essential nutrients from Youngevity. Check out 90 for Life at tobeyoungagain.com or call 855-79-YOUNG. That's 855-79-YOUNG or tobeyoungagain.com. Youngevity. It's all about saving money, getting healthy, and creating wealth.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. If they made voting mandatory, if they made it so there might be some sort of penalty if you don't go and vote. And I would be very interested. I doubt the article you have, Mark, suggests, but I would be very interested in hearing what the penalty would be proposed to be. Apparently, Barack Obama proposing what he describes as universal voting, meaning everyone who's of a certain age, at minimum, must vote in what I presume are at least national elections or maybe all elections. So we'll hear more about the proposal here in a moment. But for me, and I do vote, I don't really care much about national elections, but I do vote in New Hampshire's elections. This would make me not want to actually participate. Or maybe I would just participate in the New Hampshire ones and swear off ever casting a vote in national elections.
Is it my understanding you can go in and then just not vote for people?
Really?
You can get like
so you have to show up?
Yeah. It's like roll call at school.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. There's no doubt about it.
It's funny to me because I was recently just like clashing with my audience. You know, I announced that I joined the Libertarian Party and have sort of like been talking more about politics lately. And all of the ANCAPs that I've just been feeding raw meat to over the years are all like, what are you doing? You're a status sellout.
And you like, traitor.
And I'm like, well, you know, look, I'm on the ground here trying to, you know, effect some sort of change. If you guys want to pick up your guns and start the revolution, then by all means, come up here and join me, but I'm sick of listening to you whine on the internet, right? Mm. And so I'm saying to them, I had Wes Benedict on the show, and I was talking about the Libertarian Party. Yeah, and we're pointing out that, like, look, you think that not voting is doing something. There's plenty of countries where you can't vote, or where everybody knows the election is a sham, and the government maintains its quote legitimacy anyway. So what do you think it is? You know, people say by voting you're perpetuating faith in the system and whatnot, and that you should not be voting if you're a principled anarchist or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, I've run with that line before, but I don't think it to be terribly useful. And
yeah, I don't get it either, because the fact is that not voting wins just about every single election in the U.S.
Yeah.
More people don't vote in most elections than do vote, and that's not even counting which side they vote for.
Right.
So if there's a side, not voting tends to win, and the government keeps on getting bigger. So the best argument is that not voting grows the government, because we can look at most elections, people don't vote. Most elections, after most elections, the government tends to grow, so therefore, not voting grows the government. I don't actually believe that, because I don't believe you're responsible for it if you don't vote, but, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
It's not a solution to anything.
Let's talk to Richard in Omaha. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Chris Cantwell, and Mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, when you talked about people going out to vote, With this president in office, when he first was running for office, this was the first time in all the years of voting where actually I had to, bow out of voting that first time with this guy, because, would you believe that morning I was getting ready to go out and vote, and the next thing I know, somebody's pounding on my door that everybody should get out to vote, and then within a half hour after that, another pounding on the door, and I open it up, and six people are right at my door saying, "Are you going out to vote, sir?" And I just slammed the door real fast, and I says, "Go goodbye." To them.
Wow, they don't do that in my neighborhood.
Jeez, this is in Nebraska.
And I did report it though to the election office. And reported to him, and they said it happened so far to one other person.
Yes, the Jehovah's Democrats is my understanding.
Richard, anything else you want to share tonight?
That's just what I wanted to let you know.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, next thing, it'll be a SWAT team.
Don't give them any ideas, Chris Cantwell. I mean, they are talking about mandatory voting here. So, Mark, tell me more about
They're extolling the virtues of mandatory voting. Obama's extolling the virtues of mandatory voting in Australia, where it's a $50 penalty if you miss voting.
Well, he's not extolling them. He's actually calling for this to be implemented, right? He's saying this should happen.
I think he's saying that, but, I mean, it's not like he's proposed
it. Yeah, it's not a bill before Congress at this point. He's saying to people, hey, this would be a wonderful policy at some sort of speech that he's giving.
Yeah, he's in Cleveland talking to people. He's not.
Would it be constitutional if they actually made mandatory voting?
You can conscript people into war. You can conscript them into a voting vote.
I don't know why you even asked that question. The fact is that when you ask that question, what you point out is that the system in the United States is controlled by five people.
Mm.
By its very nature. picture. The Supreme Court, 5 out of the 9 people, and yes, the Supreme Court can be larger or smaller, I know that, but currently, 5 people decide whether laws are valid or not, and that's a real mess, frankly. I think it's ridiculous. So it doesn't matter whether I think it's constitutional or not. I don't think the vast majority of things that are going on are constitutional, but there's a bunch of people in black moo-moos out there that disagree with me. Going on, disproportionately, Americans who skip the polls on election day are younger, lower income, and more likely to be immigrants or minorities.
Also more likely to be at work.
Yeah. This is what Obama said. There's a reason why some folks try to keep them away from the polls, he said in a veiled reference to the efforts in a number of Republican-led states to make it harder for people to vote. Statistically speaking, but also on the other side of that, there's plenty of efforts from the Democrat side to allow people to vote more than once. I mean, here in New Hampshire, there's the accusations have flown by from many of the people who are, in charge of the voting that, yes, we've reported it to the state's attorney guy or whatever they are, and they want nothing to do with these cases. They don't look at them. So I wouldn't doubt that happens in other states, too. I would suspect New Hampshire's worse because it's the first in the nation for the...
Well, I've heard both of the sides are engaged in voter fraud in New Hampshire.
I'm certain that anybody, people who are seeking political power have a great deal of incentive to engage in voter fraud. I told the Elections Committee in Concord, they're saying, well, voter fraud is so low here, we don't really have to worry about this. And I'm like, that means that you're really bad at detecting it. Mm-hmm. Because people go to extraordinary lengths to steal a couple of bucks. If you don't think there's infinitely more incentive to steal political power, people are out of your minds. So when I go up there, I'm all for trying to increase ballot access so you can get more candidates on the ballot. But when I go before the Elections Committee, I do everything in my power to set voting rights back a century. I do not want more people voting.
Look, okay, I don't want more people voting, but I don't want them discriminated against based on age and gender.
I will discriminate on every single possible characteristic that I possibly can, except for you're a libertarian.
I'd like to remind people that the byline on your website is at ChristopherCantwell.com is...
anarchist, atheist, expletive.
A-hole.
That's right. It's an a-hole. Anyway, going on. Statistically speaking, Obama is correct. Less than 37% of eligible voters cast ballots in the 2014 midterms. According to the United States Election Project, a Pew Research Center study found that those avoiding the polls in 2014 tended to be younger, poorer, less educated, and more racially diverse. At least 24 countries have some form of compulsory voting, including Belgium, Brazil, and Argentina. In many systems, absconders must provide a valid excuse.
And probably North Korea.
Or face a, yes, everybody has to vote for the same guy.
Right.
Or excuse or face a fine, although a few countries have laws on the books that allow for potential imprisonment.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens when you don't pay the fine? Usually that's jail.
It's going to be a fine.
Usually it's jail when you don't pay the fine.
Yeah.
More coming up here in moments. Where's the story coming from, by the way?
ABC News.
ABC News. All right, more on the way here. You can share your thoughts with us. Mandatory voting. If it became mandatory, would you do it? Because it would make me less likely to vote. 855-450-FREE.
So who else will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, from Republic Broadcasting, John Moore and John Statmiller. From GCN, Aaron and Brad Dakins, Joyce Riley, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us are the instructors whom you've learned to trust. Surgeon of the Year, Dr. Norman Shuley. Engineer, Matt Stein. The real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Author and analyst, Captain John Reagan. Your counterterrorist from Central America, Mike Ma. Dental center owner and my dentist, Dr. Howard Chain. Radiation instructor, Craig Douglas. Author and survivalist, Rich Sheban. Author, Judy Dollarhite. Cancer center owner from Mexico, Dr. Patrick Vickers. Bug out expert and pilot, Captain Bill Sermo. Beekeeper, Jeff Maddox, seedsman, Mike Knox, author, Gayla Pruitt, author, Harry Cooper, food expert, Joe Acapinti, and Bill Whaley, the junk man, March 27, 28, and 29. GetPreparedExpo.com, the largest preparedness and survival expo in the USA.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live. We'll take your calls about anything. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Of course, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. If they make voting mandatory in the United States, would that make you less likely to vote? That's certainly how I am. I would not want... I mean, first of all, I'm not really interested in the federal government at all. But if there was a race where there was a libertarian running for Senate or something like that in New Hampshire, I would still want to vote for the libertarian if I had that opportunity. That hasn't really happened because it's next to impossible for third parties to get on the ballot here in New Hampshire. But if that were to happen, that would be the only circumstance I could really find myself voting in a national election, if there actually was a libertarian to vote for. But if they're mandating that I vote in national elections, that would make me less likely to do it. And this is the proposal apparently on the table from Barack Obama. Now, he hasn't put forth any legislation yet to, you know, his buddies in the legislature, but, you know, maybe that's coming. Maybe they're actually going to try for this.
Yep.
Oh, sorry about that, Chris. Let's try that again.
Yeah, you guys just shut me down.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing here.
You know, in the first segment, it made sense. You guys are talking to the CH1
guy. You weren't actually muted in the first segment. There was some sort of technical gaffe. I don't know what that was. That was human error in that case.
All right.
This time.
I'm glad to be back with you.
ChristopherCantwell.com, your website, by the way. I'd like to mention that.
Sure is, yeah.
What's going on there right now?
I posted an article today. We had some trouble recently in New Hampshire. There were a couple of people who had come in from out of town and moved here, and I had actually welcomed them quite warmly, and they ended up being quite the problem. But then there were some folks who, you know, pointed out that they were a problem, and I didn't believe those folks right away because they have been known to be whiny little hand-wringers who complain about everything. And so I wrote a story today. It was a true fable titled "The Libertarians Who Cried Wolf," and that's on the front page right now.
I haven't even gotten to that one yet, so I will definitely check that one out. ChristopherCantwell.com, and that's also, there's a similar story up over at FreeKeen.com.
Yeah, I linked to your story, because I gave, like, I wrote this as like a fairy tale fable story, right. But it's a true story, and I said for the details, go check out Ian Freeman's piece at FreeKeen.com.
Yeah, where you can actually watch about a 2-3 minute video of these, essentially provocateurs, for lack of a better term, coming to the local event that we have called Social Sundays, and then proceeding to get themselves kicked out by being such a-holes to people that were there. I mean,
these people give a-holes a bad name, frankly. Yeah. And, you know, they had come into town and sort of announced themselves as fans of me and Derek, and they had announced themselves in the Shire Society Forum.
That's
when
right.
When they came to town.
And they subsequently edited that post, by the way, on the Shire Society Forum, their intro post, where were talking about how they were moving to Keene. Now it just says "For Anarchy." It used to be a more detailed post about, oh, we're moving to Keene, and you're looking forward to being there, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, they got here, and, you know, they had come over my house the night that they got there, and we like drank it up. We had a blast. Like, I gave them a shout out on some garbage podcast and everything, and then you would inform me that there were some complaints about them at Liberty Forum and that sort of thing, and I'm like, well, I'm interested to find out more details, but I'm banned from Liberty Forum, so I don't really care if somebody gets kicked out of Liberty Forum. Yeah. It seems to be like Liberty Forum's a bunch of stuffy idiots who might as well have had a Murray Rothbard pinata in the lobby. I was furious with those people. It was a bunch of Koch Brothers parade. So I didn't take it too seriously when they got kicked out of there. And, of course, there's a lot of people who are hostile to me at the Quill, too. So they got kicked out of the Quill, and they got kicked out of Liberty Forum. And I'm like, I don't care. You're a bunch of stuffy, whiny hand-wringers. I'm not interested in your opinions. But it turned out they really were scum, and it took us a little while to figure it out because of the libertarians who cry wolf.
Well, and people were upset at me because I wasn't willing to just oust these guys. I mean, I didn't witness the things that were happening at Liberty Forum, but I heard from a lot of people, a lot of different people, that, you know, they had essentially come there on a Friday night. They were allegedly drunk and were allegedly trying to get someone to hit them, was what I had heard from more than one person.
Well, yeah, and Brett Vinod had posted that, and I said, look, he said they were trying to get beat up. And I was like, is that preemptive victim blaming? Like, who says, like, that's your claim about them is that they were trying to get beat up. I was like, well, what if I came here and said that a woman was trying to get raped? What would people say to me? And, you know, he sort of, you know, shuffled his words around, and I don't take Brett to be a guy who engages in a lot of drama. He seems like a pretty, like, reputable source of information. But he's, of course, dating Allie Havens, which is a huge rival of mine, who's engaged in a great deal of senseless drama and BS. And I said, okay, well, I gotta sort of discount what I'm hearing here.
So, I mean, I like Allie, but you guys don't get along, and that's just the way it is. But yeah,
the fussing continues.
I heard from multiple sources that they were, you know, essentially asking people really weird questions as well, like, do you work for the state? That apparently was their opening line, trying to, you know, meet somebody new in the lobby of the hotel.
One of them was
trying
to get their bottle opened by. Will you open my beer bottle?
Underage person,
right?
Were,
an
by
underage
the way,
person.
There were two of them. One of them was under the age of 21. Right. The other was over the age of 21.
Trying to get people to commit what likely would be a felony, which is to hand an open beer to a minor.
Right. So there were these things that, like, suggested that either they were you know, undercover agents or informants or something like that, or just totally inept. And so, you know, and so I like to lean towards being forgiving and understanding, and, like, look, maybe they were just wasted and they made some mistakes. Everybody's done that when they've been, you know, a little bit too drunk. And so I brought them into a group for activists in the Keene area, and I got a bunch of messages from people like, how could you bring them in there? I'm like, well, you know, let's give them a chance to, you know, make things right. Let's, you know, give them a chance to eat a little crow, apologize for what they did, and, you know, acknowledge that what they did was out of line, and that they should have, you know, taken a more cool level kind of tact towards coming to this event, rather than essentially acting like a bull in a china shop and, you know, setting bridges on fire before they've even been completed as far as being built. So they really blew it, and then they proceeded to blow it even further. when given the chance to make things right or make good or at least apologize, they just totally just threw everybody in the dirt and acted like they just didn't care. There was an allegation that one of them took a cigarette from a private club in Manchester, the Quill, and the response to that, which I'll admit was funny, wasn't the right response. Damon's response to that, or the guy who calls himself Damon, real name's Jared, but his response was, I FedExed him a cigarette yesterday. And no, he didn't.
Well, and I'll tell you what else too. The fact that you let them into the Facebook group was what eventually got me to throw them under the bus. Okay, because I'm seeing the allegations against them there, yeah. And I'm saying to them, I'm speaking,
which
to
never would have happened, by the way. Like, had I not let them into the group, the people who had allegations against them never would have been able to confront them with them. So
right. So I'm speaking to Ashley in the private messenger on Facebook. I'm saying you have to respond to the case being made against you, and Carl was at least willing to like sort of lay out a detailed case, whereas everybody else was sort of conjecture and rumor and mm-hmm. nonsense. And so I'm like, look, dude, this guy.
Well, Carlos was the guy who was almost about to hit them on yeah. Friday night. He was pissed.
Carlos had listed out like a detailed case of what exactly happened. And I said, look, you have to respond to Carlos. I don't care about all of the other idiots in there who are just running with rumors, but you have to respond to what Carlos said.
They never did.
And they're refusing to do it. Well, Ashley had at some point made a response to it that was a couple of paragraphs, but it was nonsense. And that's when I was like, all right, these two, I got to throw them under the bus.
So let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. If you want to see the video, go to freekeen.com. You want to get Chris Cantwell's perspective, go to christophercantwell.com. It's the top article there right now. But let's go to Chris, listening in Charleston, West Virginia, to WVTS. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, just a couple points to point out here. That one, if they want to impose law to make it mandatory to vote and exercise a right, what other rights will they make it law to exercise? And I'm really curious about how the administration would feel about, in particular, Second Amendment rights. If they want to make a law for mandatory voting, then making a law for mandatory Second Amendment rights as well.
Yeah, there's a law in, there's a town in Georgia where it's the law that you have to have a gun in your home or something. Like Kennesaw, is that the name
yeah.
of the place?
Yep.
Is that still in effect?
I don't know if it's still in effect, but
I don't think that it's been enforced in quite some time, but right. I haven't heard a story about the law being repealed anyway.
But Chris? My thoughts, where does it stop?
Yep.
That's a good question. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it.
If this isn't the most transparent ploy by the Democrats in order to seize power, I don't know what the hell it is. I mean, everybody knows when more people come out, the Democrats tend to win, and when fewer people come out, the Republicans tend to win. I mean, this is transparent bullcrap, and I think it's awful. By the way, Ian, if you would refuse to vote under these circumstances, who would win?
Whoever wins, we lose, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such infectious brainworm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
We've got time for you if you dial right now, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we were talking about underground marketplaces earlier, the shutdown of Evolution, what was the world's most popular underground marketplace. Now, of course, there are well over a dozen other marketplaces that are selling all manner of different products and services, some of which are very illegal. Which you can go and see for yourself. There's actually a dark net monitoring site that keeps an eye on the online statuses.
FBI.gov.
I think it's called D... Oh, boy, I had it pulled up earlier. But
DNStats or something.
DNStats or something like that. Whatever. Anyway, so you can look that up on your own, but there's actually a link that I have posted to the Agro Marketplace on the Free Talk Live Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter, which when I posted the link, it was online, and now the site's down again. So they are obviously getting hit hard with traffic now that the number one site's down, and they were the number two site the last time I'd seen the statistics. So go and check that out when you get the chance.
I want to go start like a darknet web hosting service.
How do you do it, or you want to?
I'm saying I like want to do it, right? Like, what if I have a dedicated server in a data center, right?
Yep.
And prior to that, I had a shared hosting account. My website got too popular. I had to get a dedicated server, right? My website was going down. So I wonder, you know, if essentially we had signs outside of the Ross Ulbricht trial saying, you know, says so many years of life in prison for hosting a website. Mm-hmm. But of course, it was not that he was just hosting the website. It was an active effort to engage in this market activity, right? But what if somebody was just in the business of saying, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, a WordPress or whatever that's connected to the dark web, and, you know, you could put whatever you want on it, and I literally have no involvement in it.
Well, right. The server company that was hosting the Silk Road server didn't know they were hosting the Silk Road server. They had plausible deniability.
Yep.
So, yeah, you could totally do something like that, I think, and possibly profit from these sites.
Yeah, and I mean, it would seem to me that
at
some point you're gonna have the infrastructure for these sites is going to end up in a torrent somewhere, and there are going to be a mass proliferation of them, and I don't think it's going to be even less successful, the efforts to stop them.
Let's go to Syphase. He's calling from California. You're on Free Talk Live, Syphase.
Hey, first of all, the website you guys are speaking about is dnstats.net.
Thanks, bud. I had it up earlier, dnstats.net. Very good. Darknet stats.
Yeah. So you were talking about Bitcoin multisig feature earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to explain, not on a technical level, but just, you know, as far as how it looks to the user and what it lets you do, I wanted to explain how it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, first of all, if these darknet markets were using multisig, you would keep control of all your Bitcoin. So, currently, what a lot of them do is you send the Bitcoin you have on your own device to a wallet where ultimately it is controlled by the market. So, if they get shut down, or if they decide to run with their money, they have the private keys that let them control the money.
Right.
If they were using multisig, the way it would work is basically say that you have Bob, who's the buyer, and Sally is the seller, and they're on the darknet market.
Okay.
The market would create a Bitcoin transaction that says the Bitcoins in this certain account go to Sally if two of the three of us agree. So the three is Bob, Sally, and the market.
Yep.
And they create a transaction saying if two of three of us agree, then the Bitcoins go to Sally. So if Bob and Sally agree that the money should go to Sally, then the market doesn't have to get involved. If they don't agree, that's when the market comes in. And
this is done using the Bitcoin multi-sig protocol, so it can all be done with the exchanging of public keys without having to put money into the underground marketplace.
Well,
right.
The way it works is that once the transaction is created, each of the three parties would have to sign the transaction to basically agree to it.
Right, so, and you can sign the transaction through the Bitcoin software without actually doing anything on the Darknet website with money. So you would not have to send Bitcoin to the Darknet site, is what you're saying.
At this point, it seems to me that the next market that opens up is going to have to operate entirely that way. This technology existing completely eliminates the need for these escrow services. It completely eliminates the concern of things like we just saw with Evolution. It ends nonsense.
You'd have to be careful, though. And by the way, does the Bitcoin, regular Bitcoin software, the sort of the default software, does that have multisig implemented, or is that only available in some other software?
I do believe it does. And all the software right now, it's pretty easy to do, but it's kind of tedious. And so most people,
which is why people weren't using it.
I don't see the feature in my blockchain wallet on my phone.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, there's some other process to it. I heard about multisig for the first time today.
Well, it involves copying. I was reading about it for the first time in detail today as well. The process I was reading about involves copying keys, and you know that you have to put them in certain areas of certain software, and so there's a process involved in that.
Well,
plus, you want to keep in mind.
You're not copying the keys, you're copying the transaction, basically.
And, you know, the information about the transaction?
The wallet operators, the blockchain.infos of the world have to get on board and start making this simpler.
Right.
Once this is built into your Bitcoin wallet application, this becomes a much simpler process. We need people like blockchain.info and whoever the other popular wallets are.
Mycelium makes one.
Well, now even though Evolution did appear to take people's money and run at this point, we don't know what the real story is. They did offer this. They did have the multi-sig as an option. So certain vendors could offer the multi-sig as an option, and then they could also offer standard escrow. But most people would go for standard escrow because it was just simpler. It was easier to do that. But keep in mind, though, if you're not going to be using the Darknet's site and their wallet system, and you're going to be using some wallet that you're actually running on your computer to send money for an illegal transaction on a Darknet, you really need to make sure that whatever Bitcoin wallet you're using has never been associated with your name before. And remember that all Bitcoins are publicly traceable, so you would want to have to use a Bitcoin washing service to send Bitcoin from your legitimate wallet to this sort of other off-the-grid sort of wallet, if you will.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, the way it works right now, you send the Bitcoins from your wallet to the Darknet, and at that point, they do all of the anonymizing stuff.
Black marketplace, I think he meant to say. And you basically have the same exact problem right now. If you have your wallet that's, listed with your public key and you're giving it to Evolution or Agora Marketplace or something like that, people understand that you're not going there to buy things that you can buy on Amazon.com. I mean, they might not know exactly what transactions are doing exactly what. There's sort of a mix-mashing going on the operator site, but people know if you're sending money to Agora Marketplace or Evolution, investigators are able to figure out that you're doing something that your government probably doesn't approve of.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't want to send Bitcoin directly to one of those sites. I mean, even if the site is claiming, we'll mix your Bitcoins, you have to trust that they are actually doing that and that they're doing a competent job of it. There are websites out there that do offer that as a service. Now, of course, you have to trust them as well, but you can also, you can go and, I guess, look and see if they are actually being mixed or whatever. But there are these...
One more possible issue that could come up. So the way multi-sig actually works is that first you send the Bitcoins to a specific address, and then to spend from that address, you need to have a multi-sig transaction. So that prevents the Darknet from being able to take the Bitcoin. But say, for example, they get shut down by the Feds. Normally, those Bitcoins would be stuck because, if you can't contact the buyer or the seller and the market's not there anymore, normally you wouldn't have a way to have two of three people sign and send you back your Bitcoin.
Well, in theory, both the buyer and the seller could sign, presuming the transaction got completed in time. And there are other Darknet sites. Thanks, Sideface, for the call. There are other Darknet sites on which most of those sellers are operating on multiple sites.
And I never heard of deflation destroying an economy anyway.
We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, check out ChristopherCampbell.com and FreeTalkLive.com.
Well, I did it. I finally left the empire behind. And now that I'm safely settled in Chile, I'm gathering with others like me to build a new community called Fort Galt. Fort Galt is designed to be the ideal home base for professionals and their families to live and work in peace. If you're ready to ditch the superstate and bring your business to freer lands, visit us online at fortgalt.com. That's fortgalt.com.
In a trial by jury, the primary function of a juror is not to dispense punishment to the accused. It is to protect your fellow citizens from being unjustly deprived of their life, liberty, or property. As a juror, you can say no to unjust laws and prevent government abuses of power by refusing to convict. Legislative, executive, judicial, the fourth branch of government is we the people. Find out more from the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.